Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It is now 8:44 here in St. Louis, and time for Worldview Watch, checking in with Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, Andy. Good morning to you and your listeners. Hope everybody's doing well after a long week, and especially the march out there in D.C. As you know, apparently it didn't get a lot of coverage, which is typical from the news, at least what I'm hearing, But the good Lord knows what's going on, so that's all good news. And it sounds like Jonathan had a pleasant time out there, at least marching for life. I've only been to one of those, and it's a lot of people out there. And it was good to hear Vice President Pence give a very short speech, but at least see the support of the executive branch for life issues. I think that that's all good.
Indeed, indeed. And Pastor Fisk did have some opportunities to share live from the march. He did Facebook Live broadcast on Friday. That's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio. And this afternoon, we have a special cross defense at 2:00. Some of the stories that he gathered from the March for Life, he was able to interview quite a few people out on the street at the March for Life. And so we're going to share that at 2:00 today.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I knew a pastor out west that, of course, was pro-life, and he would not grind his axe in the pulpit, but certainly when January would come up, and he would talk a little bit about why we have this anniversary in terms of looking at Roe v. Wade and its meaning across the board for all people of all ages, from the womb to the tomb and beyond. He noticed after several weeks, and certainly after a few years and several weeks, his attendance started to go down. And pretty soon he came, what's going on here? Because he'd put a few crosses out in his house, in his lawn, and it all turned out that one of his elders said, well, I thought you knew that, you know, you're talking to a lot of people here that is, quote-unquote, pro-choice. And so a lot of them left because they didn't want to hear the message of life in Christ, but he still fights the good fight out there and does his thing, this is part of the gospel. It's a two-edged sword, and people just want to flee from creation, and they want to flee from hearing what it means to be a Christian in terms of at least to be pro-life, because I know there are atheists for life, Mormons for life, and other people, but from our viewpoint, of course, we're dealing with the first article. So I'm glad Jonathan has a chance to get that going and get that news out. So a couple things, just to kind of, again, come back to the people, let them know what's going on. Last Sunday, I was at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on the eve of the Roe v. Wade decision. To talk about this and what's the meaning of life in this fast-changing biotech world. And one of the things I mentioned is that they now have successfully created human pig chimera embryos. That means they put together human cells into pig embryos to grow human tissue in, believe it or not, oink, oink, into pig embryos. You know, I read this stuff, and I've been trying to follow this. Some of the issues, of course, that people are discussing in this field of ethics are creating animals with it. Now, but here it goes, folks, a human consciousness and introducing, sort of accidentally introducing human animal chimeras into the wild. Some of the things that we see, Narnia and other things talked about, so... In that context, I just thought I'd share that. But these are some of the things that are being done for transplantation issues, supposedly. So now we've got sounds like the island of Dr. Moreau to me. The other thing is the whole issue with embryonic stem cell research. It came in with an interview in the science section of the New York Times a couple of weeks ago. A doctor from Japan who got a Nobel Prize for introducing how to take skin cells and revert them back into embryo-like, they're not embryos, but embryo-like stem cells so they could do research on them. He still believes that embryonic stem cell research is going to be something for the future within probably 20 to 30 years. So he's telling people just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on this one, because he still thinks it holds a lot of promises. So I know a lot of people haven't heard much about that, but that's kind of what's going down the pike. And I guess one of the last two things, people now have succeeded in growing, this is interesting, human eggs, women's eggs, and human men's sperm from skin cells, believe it or not. They're reversing the skin cells back in a man's skin cell back into sperm, and women's skin cells back into eggs. And it's at a point where they can actually use them for fertilization. But again, if you want to know what's going on in this world of biotechnology, they're saying this will help couples, infertility couples. It could be used to create eggs instead of stimulating ovaries to cause problems for women with hyperstimulation of ovaries. I'm not trying to sound technical, but here's what it is. And then they're also saying that gay couples could create eggs and lesbian couples could create sperm so that they could have biologically related children. And then, of course, this gets into the other side of the coin of, can this growing sperm and egg artificially enhance us closer to human enhancement? That is, I don't like the way I am, so let's kind of create me the way I want to be. So that's another one. And I guess one of the last ones, I had a question from a lady. This is interesting. I mentioned gene editing. I know we've talked about this on His Time called CRISPR. And she came up to me and she said, "Dr. Weiss, I'm really concerned about how they're editing genes. That is, they're taking out bad stuff and putting in the good stuff in human embryos, that is sperm and egg." And it sounds complicated, but it's actually very easy to do. And this lady says, "I work for a company that's editing human genes, like we edit books over at Concordia Publishing House to make sure they're readable. That's what they're doing with this gene stuff." And so she's concerned about how is this going to impact the future of what it means to be human. And I told her, I said, "I really can't answer that right now, because at this point in time, the stuff that's being done for this is just in laboratories where they're able to take human genes, cut them into pieces, take out the bad stuff and put in the good stuff. But right now, since there are no laws on how to use this, it hasn't gone beyond laboratory." So gene editing, as complicated as it might seem, is something that people have to be tuned into, because it's in the news. And I guess the last thing that I want to share with people, and this comes back to Roe v. Wade, what Pastor Fisk was participating in this past weekend. There were two laws that came out. Doe v. Bolton came out at the same time Roe v. Wade in January 23rd of 1973. And Doe v. Bolton defined health, and which simply meant physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and all of this well-being relevant to the patient, so that It's between the pregnant woman, they say here, and it gives room for the doctors to operate for the benefit and not the disadvantage of the pregnant woman. So health is defined in a very broad meaning. And then that was put into Roe v. Wade, and then Roe v. Wade defined person based on the 14th Amendment, where they said person is used in a lot of places in the Constitution, and where it speaks of citizens, people that are born naturalized, people outside the womb. So Justice Blackmun, he said this. He said, "This persuades me that the word person as used in the 14th Amendment does not include the unborn." And that's where we get a lot of the problems right now with what is a person, and in our and in what we believe, teach, confess, it's a body, it's a soul embodied as a person. So I know that's a broad spectrum of what's going on out there today, but those are some things that we have to be attentive to, Andy.
There's a difference between a citizen and a person, though. They're not one and the same, correct?
They are not one of the same things, but however, Justice Blackmun, in the 7-2 decision, he just simply said, and this is the quote, "The first in defining citizen speaks of persons born or naturalized in the United States." So the word appears both in the Due Process Clause and Equal Protection Clause, where person is used in other places in the Constitution. And he goes on to say that, but in all these instances, the use of the word person is such that it has application only. And here's the word postnatally. None indicates with any assurance that it has any possible prenatal application. So the use of the word person in the Constitution and other places, the Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights, all indicate postnatal, outside the womb, not prenatal. So therefore, his conclusion is that the unborn child could not be a person. And that simply means it can't have, it can't think, it can't reason, because it's in the womb yet, and it doesn't have certain bodily characteristics. And that's his line of reasoning, and that's what passed 7-2 back in 1973.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's in Article 9 of Roe v. Wade. I know it sounds kind of technical, but I really would encourage people just to pull it up on the Internet, because it's all there. It's only about 35 pages or less of what Justice Blackmun wrote on his opinion. Justice White and Rehnquist, the two dissenters, their notes are just probably no more than 10 pages when they dissented against his opinion. And I really would encourage people to read it, because it does give you a sense of how this world has perverted and viewed this whole thing regarding Roe v. Wade and what it means to be a human being.
I'd like to go back to one of the other topics that you brought up this morning as well, and that was the topic of the research that involves taking skin cell and creating egg or sperm from skin cell.
Yes.
That's interesting. So does that mean we are just a few steps away from the ultimate identity theft of simply taking some skin cells from someone and building a whole, creating a whole human being just by gathering skin cells from one?
Oh, unquestionably. This is one of those things where, quote-unquote, still is in the, quote-unquote, laboratory. But this is not surprising to people who, and I think especially to your listeners, after listening to Bob Weiss discuss this with you and Pastor Fisk for a few years. But these types of things, people are saying, hey, this is really going to be helpful when we get to the point where we can actually do this. And they are expecting this to be actually first to be really take its hold in countries like China and the Dominican Republic, where they have very low or no regulations on the creation of sperm and egg in a laboratory. So this is kind of what they're looking at, and this is kind of what they're thinking should be done. But then this creates a whole other race of people and get you into this utopia sort of a mindset of, oh, wow, so this is, yeah, we can help couples with infertility, but once again, we're getting outside the one flesh union, and the sperm and the egg and the human body really are nothing more than material.
Certainly something to keep our eyes out for. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss.
God's peace to you and your listeners.
God's peace to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.